If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open it up to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And right before Easter, we are spending some time talking from the scriptures where it was about the week before Jesus went to the cross. It was some of the events that were happening around Jesus's life before he was nailed to the cross, defeated death, resurrected from a grave, and ascended back to heaven. And so we thought it would be really important to begin to talk about some of these things that happened, because it was a time when Jesus was really using his life to teach the people around us, and the things that were happening to him to teach the people around him about what was going to happen and what God was doing in their life and wanted to do through their life. And one of these encounters is about a week before Jesus is nailed to the cross, and that's the passage we're looking at today. It's found in Mark chapter 14. We'll begin with the first couple of verses. This is what it says. It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priest and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity, it says, to capture Jesus and secretly kill him. Everybody knows that everybody wasn't for Jesus, right? And there were some people that was for Jesus, there were some people that were against Jesus. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 2, but they didn't want to kill him or secretly capture him, they said, but not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. In other words, they didn't want to cause a riot. But what these people wanted to do was get rid of Jesus. And the reason they wanted to get rid of Jesus is because Jesus had been coming into their sphere of influence. These people had a lot of influence on people. He had stepped into their sphere of influence, and there was people beginning to praise Jesus for who he was. There was some people beginning to give their allegiance to Jesus. And these people, they didn't like Jesus getting the allegiance and people praising his name. Same way today. Many times whenever Jesus steps into our life and begins to work through our life, what happens is, you know, some people don't always agree with it or like it, because it begins to focus the attention on Jesus and not on our own selfish desires. And the reason these people wanted to kill Jesus is obviously they had some selfish desires. Now, we're all born with selfish desires, right? We can all be selfish, but Jesus can step in and change that. And Jesus is in this society trying to help people understand that he is God in the flesh. He came from heaven to earth. He's God in human form. Come on. He's God in human form, and he came to save people. People, humanity, from missing the mark of God's glorious standard, save people from their sin and help them become everything God had designed them to be. However, some people were rejecting that because they had their own idea of God. And they had their own idea of what God was going to do and how God was going to step into people's life. And when Jesus came and he began to step into people's life in a way that they didn't expect, then they began to give Jesus a lot of pushback. And I just want you to know that many times God will do the unexpected if we prepare our hearts and live with a sense of awe, okay? And that's what I want to talk about today, living with a sense of awe. Now, what I've discovered about that word awe is that it, In our culture, it has several different meanings. You could say the word awe, like, aw, sweetie, thank you for bringing me that, you know, carrot cake. That was so nice of you, aw, sweetie. And then there's that awe, like, you know, kind of like, I'm in shock that would happen. I'm kind of like, oh, man, can't believe you did that to me. It's kind of like an anger awe, right? Oh, shoot. How's that mean? And then there's the awe I want to talk about today. It's a sense of wonder. It's a sense of amazement. It's a sense of reverence and saying, man, you know what? I have a sense of awe towards God because of what he's done. We just sung a song about what he has done for humanity. He has come one time for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. He gave his life on a cross, and the Bible says he's going to return again. Come on. And he is going to restore us in our rightful place with God, and we should live with a sense of awe. And if the church, the people of God who have been called out of darkness into the wonderful light, would learn what this awe really looks like and how to live with that sense of awe. Can I tell you, more and more people will be drawn to our Heavenly Father. More and more people will be drawn to their great God. Because when God steps into your life, he wants you to have a sense of awe, a sense of wonder about who he is. Live with an expectation about what he's doing in your life. I looked up that word awe this week. And this is what it means. It means having a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. Let me say that again. You can go look it up too. But it's having a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or a wonder. And so, again, when we approach the Most High God, when we approach our Creator through Christ Jesus, when we approach Jesus, that's how we should approach him, with a sense of awe. But as life goes on, what happens is sometimes people lose that awe. He's awesome. He's incredible. You should come and see the same one I have come to know, because you know he can change your life. He can transform you into a new creation. He's not a transactional God that just steps in and fixes a problem. No, he's a God that steps in and changes your heart and begins to transform you into a new creation so that you can be all he has created you to be. And so again, if we never lose sight of what God has done, then we can be a church that lives with a sense of awe. I remember when we started, you know what, this church back in the day, it used to be called Barefoot Community Church. And then it moved to Barefoot Church, and now today it's Valorous Church. And I spoke about this past weekend, but I think I'll go ahead and share it again this weekend, because many times people say, well, why'd you change from Barefoot Church to Valorous Church? And it is said Valorous, V-A-L-O-R. O-U-S, not valorous, okay? Let's all say valorous together. Come on, say it. Let me lead, okay? And you say it with me, all right? Valorous, come on. Valorous, valorous, okay. Valor with an O-U-S on the end, all right? But the reason we changed our name is when we moved here to start this church in our living room several years ago, we actually moved into Barefoot Resorts, and we began to start a community of people, and we thought, well, you know what? That's the geographical location that God has put us, so we'll name it Barefoot Community Church. As things began to outgrow our living room and we began to look for venues and we began to move to hotel conference rooms and all these kind of things, we eventually moved to North Myrtle Beach High School and officially launched the church in 2005. Though we were building this group of people, we launched the church in 2005, and then we decided to eventually change it to Barefoot Church when we moved to this venue, because we thought that, you know, well, geographically, you know, it's not just for the community of Barefoot, which that was awesome. We love the people in Barefoot, okay? But God wanted to do something more through us, so we called it Barefoot Church. And then now we've been rocking on, you know, nearly 18, 20 years of ministry, you know. And 3 or 4 years ago, God began to speak to our heart about, look, I want you to represent, you know, me in the community. And we thought it would be a way, instead of being named after a geographical place, that we should be named for who we believe that God has called us to be as a people in this community. And so the whole idea of of being brave with the goodness of God, or being a people who live with a sense of awe, being charged to do something with our life, charging the community with the goodness of God. So we thought we wanted people to understand the love of God, but also the significance of being involved in what he's doing and living with this whole sense of awe in the community. So we thought that valorous fit more about who we were charging people to be than barefoot. To be honest with you, barefoot, you know, could mean a lot of different things. Like you know, we're a laid back bunch of people just sipping on margaritas, where it was totally opposite, though we're a church come as you are. It was totally opposite of who God had called this church to be. God had called this church to have reverence towards him and live in awe and wonder of what he's done in our life and how he wanted to work through our life. And he called this church to step up and begin to show honor and the love and be brave with the goodness of God, showing kindness and love to all people everywhere, no matter who they are. And so we changed it to Valorous Church about a year ago. So now we are Valorous Church. Everybody say Valorous together. Valorous. Okay? It's valor with an O-U-S. And so it's Valorous Church. But back to when we started this thing, back in our living room. Well, we began to show kindness and hospitality to people because we understood that God had been good to us. And God had taken Kim, Cole, and myself, and he had taken us through school and planted us here in North Myrtle Beach. And so what we learned to do was just begin to open up our home and open up our living room to people, showing them kindness and love. And we would invite people over to dinner, and then eventually we would have some form of a Bible study in our house. And all kinds of people would come. And all of a sudden, as people were sitting in our living room after a few months, one guy, he asked the question, why do y'all keep giving so generously out of your house and cooking all this food for us and doing all this kind of stuff? And I was like, well, I'm glad you asked. And the whole reason we were doing it is simply to honor God and honor the resurrection of Jesus and what that resurrection had done in our hearts and in our life. And we wanted to display that hospitality or that love to other people that maybe in a position where they didn't understand the hospitality or the kindness of God towards their sin. And so we began to leverage what we had in our hand. It was a living room and a little crock pot and, you know, all of those kind of things, and began to show this love and kindness to people. And then as our church began to grow in the high school, we began to do more and more of that. And constantly, every time we would stand and share a message, we would share about how God wanted to step into your life and how God wanted to change your life and how God wanted to transform you into a new person and help you become all he has created you to be. But it was always, you know what, helping people come in freely and receive that good news of Jesus and then move forward with their lives. And really, nothing has changed in all the years of us doing ministry. It's always about being a people who live with a sense of awe in who God is. And my friend, what God wants his church to be is a church that worships him with a sense of awe. And I want you to see in this passage of scripture where there were some people who hated Jesus and there were some people who deeply loved Jesus, where a lady lived with this sense of awe. As we continue the passage there in Mark chapter 14, verses 3-9, it says this: as people were plotting to kill Jesus, Jesus was in Bethany at a home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. He had had leprosy previously, and now Jesus is sitting in his home a week before he's going to go to a cross. He's sitting around, you know, enjoying his friends, having dinner with them, pushing through the circumstances, pushing through the challenges, so humanity can know who God is. The Bible says While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made of the essence of nard. Most people I have read said that this bottle of perfume in that particular day would have cost a year's worth of wages. Now this lady who walked into the room, the Bible says that she broke open the jar and she poured the perfume on Jesus' head. A year's worth of wages. The Bible says she snaps the neck on the jar and she pours the jar of perfume over Jesus' head. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume? They asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. In other words, you could have done ministry a whole different way. And then it goes on to say this, so they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the ministry of the poor among you, is what Jesus says. And you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. What she's done, she has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial, look at this, ahead of time. In other words, she prepared me to do what I came to do. She prepared my body to go to a cross. She anointed my body for burial before time. In other words, she's advancing me for what I came to do. He says, I tell you the truth, wherever the good news about me, a resurrected Jesus, that's the good news, is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Now, why would Jesus say something so radical about this lady's worship by breaking over a jar of perfume and pouring it over his head in this day and age? Why would Jesus say something so radical like, wherever the good news about me is ever shared, this lady's act of worship will be remembered and discussed for now, now, and now, and now, and now on? It's simply this, because this lady lived with a sense of awe in who Jesus is. And the way this lady worshiped begins to show us how to never lose that sense of awe in who God is as God come and put on flesh, went to a cross, rose from a grave, ascended to heaven, is going to come back again. I mean, how radical is that for us to think of? That God's coming back. He come one time as a suffering servant and died on a cross. However, he defeated sin and death and rose from a grave. And I know this, I know you hear this message in this culture over and over again. And he ascended to heaven and he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. But my Bible says that he is coming again. Come on. And I need to live with a sense of expectation, a sense of awe, a sense of wonder in God coming to be with me and you have an eternal life with him. It's a sense of awe. No, no, not always focusing on the problems of today, tomorrow, next week, or next month, but having an awe and a wonder and a reverent respect of who God is and keep that focus at all times. How do you do that? And I think this story kind of leans in to how we do that. Keep our sense of awe. The Bible says that there were a lot of people in the room where the lady walked in. And really, they had lost their sense of awe of who Jesus is. Can I tell you why? And then they began to scold the lady. But they had lost their sense of awe of who Jesus is because they had made the uncommon too common. They had made the uncommon God way too common in their life. And I need you to know that God is an uncommon God. In other words, his ways are higher than your ways. His ways are higher than my ways. But sometimes we become so familiar with who Jesus is and what he's done, we forget to live with a sense of awe in what he's doing and what he's going to continue to do. My friends, he's the God of the universe. He's the one that we never need to become so familiar with that he just kind of becomes, you know, like our buddy or our friend. No. He's the savior of the world. Don't lose this. See, but lots of times, Jesus said this. He says, a prophet is not welcome in their own town, their own hometown. Why did he say that? Because people become so familiar. That Jesus, what good comes from Nazareth? He's just the son of a little carpenter named Joseph. No. Though he was a man and he was in the flesh and he walked among people, make no doubt about it. And though he fellowshipped with humanity, he was always God in the flesh. He could push through the pain. He could push through the circumstances. And he did what he came to do. And he followed through with dying on a cross, defeating death, and resurrected from a grave because he is God. He was God. He is God. And he will always be God, and you don't need to lose the sense of reverency. Live with awe, live with wonder. But we take Jesus real casual, don't we? Remember, I changed the name from Barefoot Church because it was too casual. We changed the name because, again, I thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my sin, but I just do whatever the hell I want to do. My friends, that's not all. That's not wonder. The Bible says he stepped into your life to transform your life. He didn't come just to make a transaction. He came so the Spirit of the living God could move in your heart and your life and transform you into a new creation. And so, you know, if you pay close attention to this story, what happened is these guys stopped leaning in. But this lady came and she leaned all the way in. See, when we become so familiar with these stories in the Bible, I read the book of Daniel before, we'll go read it again. I've read the creation story. We'll go read it again and learn something else. See, the problem is we read and we gloss over all these things. And we don't read the scriptures with a sense of all this is about my God. This is about my great God and how he interacts with humanity and what he's doing in the earth. And so I need to, he's alive, he's a well, and I need to lean in and learn more about who he is. You know, over the course of my journey, my Christian journey, as I begin to lean into God, my theology of who God is has changed because I'm learning more and more about who he is, but I haven't got to know it all yet. But what happens sometimes is some people, you know what, they stay the same because somebody told them this is basically what it's all about, and they don't keep leaning in and learning more about God. But a sense of awe says, man, I want to know more. I want to know you more. I want to know you deeper. I want to grow in this relationship. I need to learn some new things. And some people are like, oh, no, I can't do that because I read it once and I know it all. Again, I want to encourage you. Lean in. Lean into what God's saying. I could preach this same sermon 13 times in a row and tell you something new because the word of God brings more and more revelation to who he is every time you lean in and know more about him. And I'm afraid the reason sometimes the church has lost its sense of awe when they walk into the room to bring the level of change that God is looking for in the earth is simply because we've made the uncommon too common. My friend, God is the creator. He deserves all of our worship. And this lady comes in, breaks open the alabaster jar, spills it on the ground because she had a sense of awe of who Jesus is. Jesus says, leave her alone. Why are you scolding her for worshiping the way she's worshiping? Because she's doing it to anoint my body for burial before it ever happens. She's doing what she knows to do to advance me towards what I came to do. And my friends, the church is on the same mission. We're advancing the good news of Jesus Christ in a different time period on the backside of the resurrection and the ascension. But we're still advancing the good news of who Jesus is and what he came to do in humanity. And we're to use all of who we are in doing it. The next thing I jotted down about living with a sense of awe is not only stop making the common or the uncommon too common, but I wrote it down this way. I said, we've got to reduce the worry. See, I'm afraid the reason some people don't enter into this awe and wonder kind of worship of their great God is because they're worried about what everybody else in the room is, or you know, in the atmosphere is doing. And this lady, her focus isn't everybody else in the atmosphere. This lady walks into the room and does what she came to do. She came to let that alabaster bar be broken open and pours this oil over, or this perfume over Jesus' head. The fragrance begins to fill all the room. And again, I'm not gonna dive too deep into this, but see, lots of times they would prepare, you know what, the sacrifice by pouring, you know, these oils over the lamb that was gonna be sacrificed. And here she is, she's pouring the perfume over Jesus, and like, man, this is the sacrifice for humanity. And it's simply amazing, because all of those in the room were saying, oh, you know what? You ain't got no business walking up in here and worshiping God like that. What are you doing, lady? Why would you give a whole year's worth of salary to help and advance Jesus to what he did? You're crazy. The lady went on and carried through with what she came to do. She wasn't worried about what everybody else was thinking about her act of worship or her offering towards God. She just simply took what she had, walked in the room, began to pour it out in spite of what everybody else thought. Look what it says, Mark chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. In other words, they were like, hey, you're not being very efficient with the resources. But she's like, bap. But I'm being very effective. Come on, somebody. See, the church's plan is to advance this good news of Jesus in the world. And sometimes when you break open your alabaster jar and begin to pour out some resources, they may be somebody that says, that's not being very efficient. And you need to be like the lady. But it's being very effective. Look at all the lives that are being impacted by Jesus. Come on. Last thing about keeping your sense of awe. I think this is really important. You got to learn to seize the moment. This lady seized the moment she had. Look what it says here in Mark chapter 14, verse 3. While Jesus was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume that was made from the essence of nard. The Bible says, all of a sudden, though everybody else is in the room, she broke open the jar, and she poured out the perfume on his head. In other words, she never hesitated when she walked in that room to do what she came to do. When she walked into that room, She had gone somewhere and got this beautiful alabaster jar of perfume, wherever it was, in her bedroom, you know, in her living quarters or whatever else. And she stepped into the room. And when she stepped into the room, her sole purpose and her passion wasn't to, you know, negate or to begin to analyze all the things around her. She walked into the room and seized the moment to carry out her purpose, which was to advance the good news of Jesus. And what I want to say to our hearts today is, you know what? The church has to seize the moment. There's seasons. You know, I think the book of Ecclesiastes lists 28 seasons. But there's one season it never lists. And it's a time to quit. And so many people, you know what, saying, I'm going to quit on God because I feel pressure. I'm not going to follow through with my assignment because I got too much going on. And what I want to say to you, there is a lot going on in the world today. There's a lot going on in the face of the church. There's a lot of ruckus. There's a lot of, you know, chaos. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of pain. But it is no time like today to seize the moment and for the church to step up and begin to pour out all that God has poured in to show the love and the kindness and the goodness of God to a community that is confused, that is broken, that is set back. Because if we will advance the good news of Jesus and continue to pour it out, then Jesus is going to do what he says he's going to do, and he's going to return. Man, live with his heart. Live with a sense of awe. Don't quit. Don't pull over to the side. There's never a time to just say, I'm done. I'm cashing it in. No, no, no. My friend, you still have a heartbeat in your chest. You still have breath in your lungs. I don't know what they said to you. I don't know what has happened, but could you get a sense of awe this very moment in this very day and be like this lady and begin to worship Jesus for who he is and begin to pour it out and begin to say, you know what, I'm going to make a difference in the world, and my story will be discussed from generation to generation to generation like this lady's story, because I'm not going to be afraid to live with a sense of awe. Come on. Church is a place to begin to grow into all God's created you to be. My friend, there is opportunity after opportunity. In the church, we may not always get to do what we want, but I can promise you there's a place to do what God has called you to do. And it's up to you to step into it. I can't step into it for you. I can try to encourage you. I can try to, you know, share the good news message with you. But I'm here to tell you today on the authority of God's word that it says this. It says we are God's masterpiece, and we are created anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things God created for us to do before the foundation of the world. And I need you to know this today, that us, it includes you. And the only person holding back the masterpiece is you. Because you're saying, I'm going to refuse to step in and worship God with a sense of awe and become all he's created me to be. My friend, don't you let the devil talk you out of doing what God's created you to do. You step into it. Let's be a church that's brave with the goodness of God. Let's be a church that's valorous. Let's be a church during this Easter season that passes out these invites and even invites people we think don't even need to be invited. Because the real truth of it is we all need Jesus to step in, transform us, build us in who he's created us to be. Let's be a church that lives with a sense of awe. Can you bow your heads, please? God, I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here today. I thank you for friends. I thank you for family. I thank you for loved ones. And God, as many people in our church are going through difficult moments and pain, God, I pray today that you would just bring healing to their heart and to their spirit, God. And God, if they need a healing in any other area of their life, God, I pray you'd be the Most High God and just even be able to step in and do the unexpected. But God, never let them lose that sense of awe and wonder of who you are. God, you can begin to mend broken relationships. You can begin to heal hearts and all kinds of things that have gotten us off track. But God, I pray today that your people would hear your voice and your calling. And God, they would step towards you with a sense of awe and wonder. And they would know your great love and your justice and your power and all the things that you desire to do in their life. And they may surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. God, I pray today that by faith they would step towards you. My friends, if you haven't taken this step towards God by receiving Christ Jesus as your Savior, there is no greater moment than right now to do that. And maybe God brought you here in this particular service day just to touch your heart and say, you know what? I still want to do something amazing in your life. You just simply say, God, today, I recognize that I've gone my own way. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Say, God, today I want to thank you for Jesus, the one who came from heaven to earth and gave his life on a cross so I could be reconnected to you. Say, God, today I want this new life by faith. Say, God, today I believe you resurrected him from a grave so my life could be made whole again. My friend, if you said that prayer by faith today, God wants to say to you, welcome to the family. I encourage you from this point forward to just continue to walk with God and begin to believe that he is for you and not against you. Step into him. Continue to dig deeper. Continue to know him more so that he can continue to grow you in your faith. God, we thank you, Jesus, for making all of this possible. And we pray this prayer in your holy and precious name. Amen.